Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hello, I'm Robbie Musto, and welcome to this special edition episode of the Two Robbies podcast. Every great Premier League footballer started their journey somewhere. For players like Phil Foden and Marcus Rashford, their start came in the Premier League's own youth programme. NBC Sports Engine's podcast, For the Love of Sport, covers the people and processes that help kids learn and grow through sports and athletics. On this episode of For the Love of Sport, Marie Fitzgerald and Simon McKenzie are joined by Premier League Director of Football, Neil Sanders, to hear his thoughts on developing homegrown talent in England and his experiences in youth sports and what it means to create life-changing experiences for every player. Hop on over to the Love of the Sport podcast to catch more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. In the meantime, here is that episode with Neil Sanders now.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the For the Love of Sport podcast, brought to you by Sports Engine, your home for youth sports. My name is Simon.
And I am Marie, and we're recording on a Saturday morning, which is kind of exciting, a little different. The reason we're doing that is we are fresh off of travel back from Philadelphia, where we were at the United Soccer Coaches Convention, and it was awesome. It was a good time.
Super fun. Yeah. Really, really fun to be a part of just the convention in general. See so many different soccer sweatsuits was pretty cool. I kind of want our own now, like
I know.
With the For the Love of Sport badge on it.
Yeah.
But like everybody was just geared up to the teeth. But it was really cool to see the shared love of the sport of soccer and how invested and how passionate everyone was about it. I mean, we really had some amazing people that we talked to and got to sit down with. What was your takeaway from the convention?
My one takeaway is we're right now at a really unique time, just coming off the World Cup, all the excitement with that World Cup. It was an amazing one, obviously the final, but I think a lot of people are already, you know, here in the U.S., we get to host the next one or help host the next one, us and, you know, obviously Canada and Mexico. But everyone is just kind of like eyes forward. What can we do as part of the youth soccer world to help get us to a point of when the World Cup is here, we're making the most of it in terms of growing the game, you know, providing good experience for everyone who comes to visit. We talked to a lot of people and they're like, we're just excited and we want to do whatever we can to get to that point because soccer is going to be as big as it will ever be, you know, in the next 5 years, let's say, because of it. I actually have chills right now because I get juiced up.
I think it is important to call out, especially since it's going to be the focus for the next few years, is the World Cup coming and how big of a deal that is. 4 years from now, everyone's going to be just on the edge of their seat, hosting so many different countries. This is everything. You know, I mean, the sport of soccer over there is absolutely everything. So we should let our listeners know. We're going to have a lot of really cool episodes that we're going to throw out there, a lot of bonus episodes. And in the coming weeks, you'll see those sort of live from USCC. So you have some context around those. And then before we get into our guest, I do want to tease this as well for the outro. I have a new game, Marie.
Another new game?
This is what I geek out about.
I know.
You know what I mean?
This guy
I love
has
games
like
in general.
8 new podcast segment games every week. We weed through them, so you're getting the best of the best here.
this one's a good one.
I'm excited for this one.
The quote was a fun one. This one here is sports term, racehorse, or both. And I will leave it at that, and we'll just hop right into our guest.
My hands are getting sweaty. I'm not going to get this.
The job's easy for me. I get to read it off, and you're the contestant, really.
Yeah.
And our listeners are also the contestant.
For sure,
but
for sure.
it'll be pretty fun. So let's hop into our guest. Very, very exciting.
All right. Welcome, everyone. We have a very special guest with us here today, Neil Saunders. He is the director of football at the Premier League, where he is responsible for the league's work in the development of elite players, coaches, and match officials. Neil is responsible for the delivery of the Premier League's Elite Player Performance Plan, a long-term plan aimed at developing more and better homegrown players for the English professional game. Launched in 2012, the EPPP has yielded much success, with English football now producing more of the world's best players than any other country. A former professional footballer himself, Neil has also gained full international futsal honors, having represented the England men's football national team. We are going to ask a question about that. So Neil, with that, welcome to the show. Welcome to For Love of Sport.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The EPPP. Is that
the EPPP?
Okay, okay. We don't have to do
it. I think there's one too many P's in the title.
I know.
But it's easy with hindsight. Yes. So EPPP.
EPPP.
Perfect.
Thank you so much again for joining us. We are tremendously excited to connect with you here. And, you know, before we dive into the EPPP, just because, you know, we're a youth sport podcast about the youth sport experience, can we dive into yours, just your youth experience? Like, what was that like? What did you play growing up? I mean, was it soccer, like right out the gate, like 3 years old, you're just kicking against the wall, or was it just a bevy of sports?
Yeah, I think, football or soccer straight from birth, really. I have a brother that's 7 years older than me. So I think he was dragging me. When can this younger brother start kicking around a ball with me? And I spent a lot of time in goal. Saving some of his shots, but obviously that was my first introduction to the game. And actually I at a very young age went to a soccer school during the summer sort of holidays, and it was a residential camp, so we stayed over a few nights. I think I was 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And I actually won the player of the tournament at boys age sort of 6 to 16s, and the prize for that was to go and spend a day with the West Ham men's first team.
Whoa.
And train with them. And actually off the back of that, I got asked to go and train with the West Ham Academy. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, my journey into football, and I've been sort of following that passion ever since.
Let's hop into the EPPP. Let's go right from the gate. Let's talk about why did it start, the purpose, the inception of it, its impact so far.
You know, I've been fortunate to be part of the Premier League for the last 12 years. So, you know, came into the organisation at a time when it was very much in its inception and prior to the launch of it. So it's been great to see the sort of the work that went into creating and implementing the plan to 10 years on, where we're celebrating, you know, a whole host of young, exciting talent that are not just surviving in the Premier League, but are thriving, and some of our standout performers, and not just in the Premier League, but have gone on to, you know, perform really well in the national team. And that's been a source of pride for all of us in work in youth development. And, you know, I guess the challenge is always in elite sport and working specifically in football, and the success of the Premier League and our club's ability to attract, you know, the best players from around the world is how do we continue to make sure that happens and we see those homegrown players coming through. And it's really, you know, it's a miracle in some regards, because we're a global sport. We've had players, you know, come from all over the world, some of the world's best players. And for a young player to come through his local community from 8-9 years of age, you know, Phil Foden at Manchester City or Marcus Rashford at Manchester United, and to be able to go through all of the steps of that journey and then not just step on the pitch for that team, but become one of their standout players, you know, that's a miracle, really. But actually, it's not, because, you know, it's not by accident. The work that goes into supporting those, first of all, young people to develop those into young men, but then all of the resource, time, effort that goes into supporting their football development as well, you know, is the result of why we are today.
Yeah. So obviously, like, now that the system's in place and you're kind of seeing the fruits of the labor, and the Phil Fodens and the Marcus Rashfords are, like, those are big names, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And so when we think about how it is today and reflect back to, like, what did, you know, the EPPP really, like, change, or what kind of used to be the way that you would just kind of leave everyone up to their own devices? Hopefully you're doing a good job and we're creating really awesome players and people who are kind of come up through the system. But what's been, like, the main change or impact that you've seen?
Yeah, I think it's important to say that, you know, clubs have worked in youth development. We've always had some great players come through the English system. But I guess the success that the Premier League had over that first sort of 15-20 year period, where the ability for our clubs to attract talent from around the world, that just was increasing day by day. And we saw, you know, some of the really best players coming into the league, and the levels just go up and up and up. And I guess we looked at the work that was going on in our academy system at the time, said, if we're going to produce players that go and play in the Premier League, they're going to need to be some of the best players in the world. And if our system is going to be equipped to do that, we're going to need to have one of the best academy systems in the world. And at that time, the narrative was probably that our players weren't quite as technically as advanced as maybe players that were coming over at the time from Spain or France or Germany or Italy. And that sets a challenge. You know, if we're going to keep up with them and overtake them, then yeah, we need to look at what we're doing and perhaps make a change. And the benefit and the value of working within the Premier League and the success that it had, a global success, and the revenues that brought, that meant we were able to really make a step change in the investment in our academy system. We implemented a 4% levy on all transfers that was ring fenced for youth development. So when a player comes in for multi-million pounds, actually that 4% of that money is going directly into supporting the development of young homegrown players. And with the transfers that have gone up and up, that's meant more and more revenue.
Eye-popping price tags that are attached to some of these players. Yeah,
absolutely. And, it's been able to be reinvested. So things like allowing our young players to spend more time in clubs, accessing quality coaching, was a key priority at the start. But to do that, you needed to have full-time professional coaches, and that investment was able to help that. And then what do those coaches look like? Well, they probably need to be educated differently if they're working with a 9-year-old Phil Foden than if they're working with a 16, 17, 18-year-old Phil Foden.
Right.
So our coach education programs, working with the Football Association, and then the development programs we put in place to support those coaches once they were in post, to make them age specialists was a big focus. So those were a couple of the things that I guess we focused on at the start, was the access to clubs and the quality of the coaching.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I love that you called out, we've talked to a few other people about how important it is that at varying ages, like, there are different things that in each sport. So in just in soccer itself, like, there are different things that we need to focus on. And we really do need to train these coaches to be specialists in that age, to make sure that they can continue to develop. And it's really cool that you can hear that from, you know, like the top league, that, you know, there is so much focus on that, and time and energy and money. And you're not just saying we need to do it, we're actually doing it, and we're investing in that is awesome.
Absolutely. You know, you brought up a really good point of, that, you know, you're seeing the fruits of your labors, right? We're seeing some amazing people come through. I guess my question is, it's not just, you know, it's obviously on the players to come out of the academies and have that success, but it's also a culmination of so many people and so many touch points that are like helping that success. I guess from an organizational level, how do you like keep everybody aligned on like that same mission? How do you keep everybody on the same, like with that same focus, that same intent? Like what we're doing right now is building our nation's success in soccer. Sorry, football. Sorry. I'm going to get that eventually.
Well, I think that was a big part of the ETRP at the start, was creating a shared vision for the game and how we were going to work in youth development, with the caveat that every club has their own individual identity and unique circumstances, so they'll have their own spin on it. But as a game, there was a vision and a plan in place to support all clubs, and I guess put a level of minimum standards in place that hopefully helped improve every club in that system. And you talk about the staff there. I think we've got around 4,000 staff across, you know, coaches, sports science, player care, education, that are all playing their part. We trebled the number of full-time coaches that were working in the academy system pre-ETRLP to now. And, you know, I think you can only move at the pace of the quality of the people. And I think we've now got, you know, people that were working in the academy system pre-ETRLP, and they've built 20, 30 years of experience. But there are also newer members of staff that perhaps wouldn't have had that opportunity, that are now a 10 years in, and they've built up a level of expertise and knowledge around a particular age group or a particular group of people to be able to continue to take the game forward. So yeah, the quality of people is really important. And that alignment, again, part of our, we've been 10 years on, we've taken the opportunity to review the ETRLP and create, you know, update that plan, reinforce some of the messages, be more explicit around some of the things that we think are going to be really important for our success going forward. And that's a part of the work. We also have a development program for every academy director in the country. And it's is an individualized program, you know, specific to where they are in their particular stage of their development. But we talk about the ripple effect, and in every academy director, and there's 90 or so in England, and across those, working with those 4,000 staff, if we can help them develop, you know, by 1-5%, the ripple effect of that is, you know, can be exponential. So our investment in people, coaches, and the wider workforce is, again, is something that we're really focusing on now, but, you know, ever increasingly going forward as well.
That's wonderful. I mean, giving that investment and making sure that that's really known to these coaches, the staff members, like, and that mentality of continued improvement, that your program itself, we're going to continually look at it and iterate and improve, consistent improvement across the board, that just compounds on top of itself, like you said. And it's, that's, well, obviously we're seeing it. We're seeing the start of that success too. I guess, as we talk about that, is there a particular success rate of academy players that are progressing to becoming full-time professionals?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. And I guess that is the perennial sort of challenge of any youth, in a youth athlete environment, is how do you make that transition from sort of youth into senior athlete? We have a, you know, there's a whole range depending on which category academy that player enters the system.
Sure.
What I can say is we've doubled the number of under 21 homegrown players, English players playing in the Premier League compared to 10 years ago. And that's against the backdrop of the Premier League being, you know, continuing to increase in its quality, and more of the best players now playing in the league. I think we had something like 134 players from Premier League clubs represented in the Premier League. So that those under 21 English players getting more game time in the Premier League is a real sign of, you know, positive trajectory, more than their counterparts in Germany now or Spain. So something to be proud of. But what we do know is that there is only ever going to be a relatively small percentage of young boys, in our case, in the boys system, that will go on to be a Premier League player or professional player. And part of the new strategy is, you know, being more explicit. You know, it's always been a part of the E3P around this, the idea of a holistic development and developing the young person before the player. But going forward, we're talking about, you know, a life enriching experience. So, you know, we're out here with Manchester United and Southampton, and actually, if a young player has been in one of those academies from 9 through to 16, regardless of when they exit the academy system, they should be better off in the broadest possible sense for that experience. You know, whether it be in their academic grades and the educational support that's available through the clubs, or whether that's through the friendships they've made, the resilience they've built, the confidence, the communication skills. And we're really, you know, putting a big emphasis on that and celebrating that, so that players, parents and young people know that is the expectation and the commitment we're making. We can't promise that they're going to be a professional player, because nobody can make that promise.
Right.
But we can promise and commit that they're going to have a really positive experience and they're going to be better off for that experience, whatever they do in their next steps.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Absolutely. It's got to be incredibly foundational and something that really propels them to great things, whatever they end up doing. Now, let's say for a 35-year-old ex-goalkeeper, what would their success rate be if they were to just
Zero.
Get involved in that program?
I'll take this one. Zero.
Okay, fine. Sorry, fine. Good setting my expectations, it's cool.
Bringing it back, though, is obviously part of U Sports, they have so many other things going on, right? Even, I'm sure, at the most elite level, you talked about academics, you talked about setting expectations with parents. What does that kind of look like when a new player comes into the program? How do you guys, like, manage those expectations? And I'm sure a lot of parents are like, oh, this is going to be it, right? This is going to be the time. And that's not the case, but they're going to leave the program better than when they came in. So how do you kind of manage those expectations?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, absolutely. Parents, understandably, you know, coming into some of the great facilities and environments that our clubs are able to offer, that is a piece of work that clubs do. So we have, you know, regulations and rules around the induction processes that need to take place and the information that should be provided to parents so that they're, you know, it's really transparent around what they will receive and what they can expect for their son, but also, you know, being realistic and pragmatic around what it can't promise. And that parent education, the work to support parents so that, you know, the club and the parent could be aligned in those positive messages with the young player, but also putting that importance on the development of them as a young person, the importance of schooling, education, their personal development.
Right.
That's an ongoing piece of work and something that we're, again, as part of the next iteration of the plan is how do we build on the current work to make sure though that expectation level is appropriate without killing anybody's dreams, because it's, you know, it's absolutely right that a young person coming, a young boy can aspire to be that because that is possible.
Yeah.
But also, you know, there's the reality of that and the likelihood of that happening and also that then them not being defined by that success. I think that's what we know about working with young athletes is that they can quite quickly develop a strong athletic identity. And, you know, if they are no longer a football player, well, what is their identity then?
Right.
And we're working with, you know, clubs and they're experts in clubs that we, that through rules and through funding, we make sure that are in place to really support the development of that young person and build out their identity so that, you know, their value isn't just in their ability to play football.
That's amazing to hear. Like we've had that discussion a couple of times with sports psychologists where, you know, that's something, you know, in America too, parents worry about. They don't want that identity just to be wrapped up in being an athlete. I think that could be a misconception too of people who go through an academy training or something like that, that they're going to, like, you know, the mentality is always going to be, oh, you're going to be a professional. But that's actually amazing to hear that there's resources in place and the teaching of, like, you are more than this. You're more than the sport you play. Play at the highest tier, obviously, but, you know, that enforcement is really encouraging for sure.
I think we're in a really privileged position that we're working with young people and you know, that responsibility to ensure they're having a positive environment. You know, on a personal level, I've been through an academy system as a young player and didn't quite make it to the Premier League and went to university and went through that sort of journey of, okay, what's your new identity and understanding the importance of that wider identity for an athlete, but also the opportunity that exists. We still work with boys from really underprivileged areas. We're working with boys from all parts of society, but also from the really most challenging parts of society where perhaps further or higher education wouldn't have been on their pathway. And through the expertise that exists in our club, through the opportunities, we're able to support their developments to actually, you know, if that wasn't on their pathway before they joined a professional club, that could be a pathway for them post. And that's something that I'm really passionate about, making sure that we, you know, they're better off for that experience. And we've got so many committed and competent staff and sort of skilled staff to be delivering that in clubs as well. That gives you, you know, great hope for what our system can look like in the future and the role that it can play, not just developing top Premier League players, but also, you know, Premier League coaches or staff that help to develop the next generation of players, or they just go on and be a positive sort of person and member of society.
Yeah. And I mean, that's when you really get the best of your, you know, country or your club, is when you're stretching across your entire, wherever they are, wherever they might be, you can reach them. It's the beauty of U Sports. You get to reach them where they're at and make an impact and hopefully help them on their journey, whatever that may be. So I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. We just to jump on that, we often talk about you know, the people that will be the best judge of our system will be those that don't go and play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, those small number of players that go and have the success in the Premier League, they're probably going to look back positively in that success story. The rest of those players, if in 5, 10, 15 years time post being in the academy, they're looking back and saying, what an amazing experience. And some of the things I'm now doing were, you know, in part as a result of the experience or the skills I developed, you know. And if we can have our alumni looking back positively and you know, across the board, then, you know, that'll be a measure of our success.
Yeah, it's such a cliche to say, but like soccer and sport in general is such a microcosm of life. And so if you can have an impact there, it's the things, like I'm sure all of us, we look fondly back on our experience in sport, and it's made us who we are and why we're, you know, doing what we're doing and successful in what we're doing is in large part to the things we learned and the experiences we had. So
here in the States, you know, we've had the inception and the growth of the National Women's Soccer League. Mm-hmm. And female sports are certainly gaining so much more traction. What's thrilling for us, you know, as soccer fans, is seeing the Women's Premier League and seeing these teams, you know, have such success, and switching to the focus on girls and the girls academy. Can you speak a little bit just to that, and maybe even looking forward to the EPPP and what that looks like?
Yeah, I think the boys and girls pathways, I guess, are at different stages of their development. There's been systems in place before the EPPP to support the development of boys through our system, and, you know, through investment of a number of Premier League clubs, but also through the success of the Lionesses, the England women's team in the Euros has definitely accelerated the interest and development. And, you know, waited a long time for the men's national team to have success, and it was great to see the women's, and, you know, father of two newborn twin daughters, and
congratulations.
Yeah. Wow.
To see the pathways now that exist perhaps for them to, if that was a passion of theirs, to follow is really encouraging, and there's some amazing work. And those group of women who went on, you know, had that success, you know, role models and inspiration for whole, you know, generations of young girls. So it's watching with interest to see what that looks like. The Premier League, a commitment we've made is funding what are called emerging talent centres. So
awesome.
The training centres that girls can access to receive elite coaching and progress hopefully into some of those club academies. We've made a financial commitment to fund those for the next 3 years, and constantly working with the FA to look at, you know, what does the Premier League's role look like in the women's game going forward. But, you know, a commitment to trying to support it in the best way we can to make sure that it continues to progress. You know, with the stadia, the capacities, the fans that we saw in the summer in the England team, you can see the interest is there in the women's game, and it's really exciting what's to come in that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I sweating just thinking about how good the England team is and when they play the US.
Yes. Because, you know, the US have been a benchmark, haven't they, for so many years.
For sure.
So I think that, you know, being able to compete with the likes of the US and a number of other countries is, really good.
And it's all, good things. Like, it only means the game's getting so much better. Yeah, competition fuels growth and all that good stuff. So I do want to touch on, obviously, congrats on the twins.
Yeah,
so,
I said new. They're 16 months now.
So. Okay, 16 months. That's fun, though. They're probably super cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look great. You look fully rested. So are you looking forward to, you know, being a U Sport parent, maybe? Are you thinking like, we're definitely going soccer, or are you just kind of going to let them decide what they want? Have we thought about that at all?
Let them decide. But if the goals in the back garden and the multiple footballs can help them navigate towards football,
that'd be great. If I pass to them when they wake up, who am I to say?
Yeah, they're actually already sort of dribbling the ball around the not quite dribbling, but, you know, they kick the ball actually already, which is fun to see. But we'll see what they choose to pursue, and I'll support them well. So
awesome. Well, I think obviously you guys have had a lot of success through, you can see the players. What's kind of, let's look forward into the next 5-10 years, kind of what are your hopes, aspirations, what are the, you know, the big dreams that you guys have? What do you think the EPPP looks like in 10 years?
So we've spent the last 12 months or so sort of asking ourselves that question, and whilst, you know, clearly don't have a crystal ball, it's, you know, it's trying to think about some of the things we don't know and some of the things we do know and what we've learned over the 10-year period that the EPPP has been in place. I think what we do know is that society is changing. The expectations and of how you work and develop elite, work with and develop elite youth athletes has changed. You know, we've seen that through Olympic sports and the importance that has been placed on the well-being of our athletes. And I guess people seeing beyond the athlete and recognizing that, you know, they may go out and perform at this uber elite level, but they are people the same as you and I, and that comes with challenges. So I think the support that we have in place for the players as people is going to continue to be a priority area. And I guess in that broader space, player health, how we support young players, there's a big discussion in the UK at the moment. You know, there's been a ban of youth of heading in youth sport in youth football in the US, and you know, how do we make sure that it's a safe sport for young players to compete in? So that's something to consider going forward. I think this the idea that our academies can be, you know, provide life enriching experiences is something that we're really focusing on at the moment, and genuinely believing that if we focus on, you know, the joy, the fun, the passion for the game, the love for the game, that will ultimately make better football players. And you know, it not being just for those players that don't go and make it, actually we think that is going to help us make even more players and support them to be as successful as can be, because it's a person that steps on that football pitch before a player.
Yes.
I think it's really important that we remember that. And that person, if their mental health is well, if their physical health is well, then they're going to be in a better position to perform. So there's understandably there's a huge focus on that at the moment.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
I'm ready to go. Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Awesome.
Well said. Yeah.
I like to hang.
Sometimes you like to let the answers hang just to like really like let that sink in. So thank you. That very well said, and exciting to see what the EPPP will become. And thank you for being a part of this. I think it's time for our this or that section. I don't know if you've been prepped about this. This is our wrap up.
I wish I had been prepped. Yeah.
No, it's better if you're not prepped. It's easy. Don't worry.
The this or that section, we have I'm very rapid fire questions. And there's no thinking. It's all gut reactions only. And it's either it's one or the other. And that's it. All right?
Yeah, I'll get it started.
Here we go.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
All right. After a long day, recliner or couch?
Couch.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Cake or pie?
Cake.
Nice.
Train or plane?
Train.
Ooh.
Bit of sustainability.
There you go.
I like that. Is it pronounced GIF or JIF?
GIF, I think.
I think this is true. You are in a team triathlon? I think we read.
Are you a triathlete?
No. Are you? Or you
amateur
just support
triathlete,
the sport?
Yeah, I think a triathlete is going a bit farther. Yeah, amateur.
Okay, so pick one. The running, the biking, or the swimming?
The cycling. I've got
waning
knees, so cycling is
that's where I'm at as well,
All right. Michael Owen in his prime or Harry Kane?
That's so tough.
Yeah,
I have to go Harry Kane because he's a current Premier League player. So I'm supporting
there you
the
go.
Players.
Outstanding. Yeah, completely on brand.
Outstanding.
Okay, so let's imagine LeBron James. Instead of basketball, he chose soccer at a very young age. Where are you putting him on the field? Keeper or striker?
He's amazing with his hands. He has to do that. He's a goalkeeper.
We got somebody else said midfield because they just wanted him everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, no,
yeah,
just
yeah, I agree.
Let him do whatever you do. So that's it. That was it. That was a hard question. Easy peasy. I do want to, before you leave.
Yeah.
Super exciting. You guys have obviously been, you know, making huge strides of bringing the Premier League over to the States. We've got an upcoming fan fest in Orlando, which is going to be super exciting. I know it's already sold out. There's going to be tons of people. We've heard the last one was in Philly, which is where we are right now. And just like anytime that excitement and energy gets brought to a city, it's always better. So I just wanted to allow you, if there's anything you wanted to talk about with FanFest, or if you're going to be down there in Orlando, I know the team is going to be there, give you the opportunity to say anything about that. And then maybe if you have anything you want to leave the listeners with outside of that before we close.
I think I'm waiting to see if I get the invite from the
I know,
the
I'm like checking session. My email. Yeah. I don't know where that is.
But I think it's been incredible, the NBC support for those events. And I guess seeing how many fans are in the US that follow Premier League football and how knowledgeable they are about their team is brilliant to see. Yeah, it's been a great partnership.
Yeah,
I guess seeing how much the Premier League and our clubs mean to people, not just that, you know, in the stadiums in the UK, but around the world is great. And, you know, being here is amazing because you get to watch games from 7 o'clock in the morning through to about 12 p.m. and watch every single game. So I'm enjoying being able to just sit back and watch every game live while I'm out here.
Yeah, I guess I've never thought about, like, for us, Premier League games are just always a morning thing, but it's like for you guys, it's night.
It's prime time at television.
I will say there's nothing better. I mean, West Coast pretty early, but I'll wake up, cup of coffee. Like I love it. It is
a wonderful way to start off Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
It's just a nice cup of coffee, some bacon and eggs, and then watching Tottenham play. Well, for me. We didn't actually get to ask, are you a strong supporter of any particular club? What's your club of?
I support all of our clubs equally, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that's the right answer. Well, Neil, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy. We appreciate it. Talk about the ETPP, all great things. So thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me.
Okay, what a gem. Neil Saunders, that was super fun just to chat with him. He was fantastic to talk to. He did a great job of, I think, shattering my own perception of player pathways. When we talk about, you know, we talk about I guess teams that are specifically designed and programs that are specifically designed to craft professional footballers, soccer players, right? There can be a misconception of like, well, that's all they do. All they do is just, they just focus on football. And to an extent that is right. But to go back to what Neil had said, that's not the case. It's really crafting a well-rounded individual. Like, sure, they focus on football. That's what they're there to do. But it's beyond that. It's helping them because it's understanding that a very small percentage are going to actually make it to the pros. So then crafting a well-rounded curriculum to help these individuals become the best people they can be outside of the game is such a unique thing that I think was shattered by myself. For the longest time, I think I was just like, well, what do these kids do after football? I mean, if that's all they know. But
yeah,
hearing from him that, you know, that's not the case was actually really great.
The idea that we often hang our laurels on team success, and if a team wins or a team loses, that's what makes it a success. And oftentimes we try to find teams for our kids to be on so they are successful rather than giving our kid the right program, coaching, development, all the things outside of soccer that are likely going to be involved for them to develop at the rate they need to develop at and get what they need to get out of it. And so we talked to a few people about it, but it was like, it's just a shift in how we're thinking about success and like the idea of, you know, winning culture and all of those things is like, it's about the player. And at the end of the day, if we do that, I think we're going to start to see more kids wanting to stay involved in sport, more kids not getting burnout, you know, finding joy again in the sport. It was cool to have Neil kind of humanize himself when he said he's a dad to twin girls, I believe. I know. He kind of looked at us and we're like, oh, so the real work begins now.
Boy.
You thought being the director of coaching at the Premier League was hard? No.
Add on twin girls to that.
Yeah.
But also, he also has a state of mind and the you know, a great vision of just, you know, we're going to let them pick whatever they want to be involved with, not force, you know, football or anything for them to be a part of. And it's really nice to know that it's got that focus, right?
Yeah. And if you are, you know, obviously we dove deep with Neil yeah. on the E-triple-P,
yes, which nice.
Sounds way better than the E-P-P-P, which is how I said it. It was completely not accurate. The E-triple-P, I think they have like a great framework. We dove deep into that with him, and they've got a ton of resources we can share out that you can go take a look at, obviously specific to soccer, but who knows, might be able to take some nuggets into other sports as well, or just educate yourself. There's usually never anything wrong with learning more.
That's true.
I have found in life.
That's true. You know, and actually, it's a good segue. Are you ready to learn more, by the way? Because we're about to play our game. Sports term, racehorse, or both. And the rules are very simple for me. I'm going to read a name. And it's either going to be a sports term, a racehorse, the name of a racehorse, an actual racehorse, or it's both.
Okay. This is so simple hard. Enough. There's racehorses that are like... Sunday dinner with grandma, and then there's like Speed Demon. So it's like, I don't know.
So we so let's hop into this, and I'll pause so our listeners can obviously play along too. So let's start off here. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Pepper.
I was expecting more words. Okay, I'm pretty sure, like, I think that's a volleyball term.
You locking it
in? So I'm going to go both.
You're going to go both. Okay.
Yeah.
It is just a sports term. You are right, though.
Dang it.
That is a volleyball term. It is
volleyball term.
A popular warm-up among volleyball players.
Yeah, you pepper back and forth.
Absolutely. Nice. Shoot. That's good, though. Both is... You'll get a half... I'll give you a half point. Give you a half point.
It's like there really wasn't a single racehorse named Pepper.
I mean, there might have been. Not from the top 250 that I looked at. I did too extensive research on this, by the way. We're going to be doing this game quite a bit because I have way too many.
Okay, so you okay?
All right, but let's let's do a second one here. First captain.
Oh, that feels like it has to be a sport term at some point. I don't know about first captain, but captain obviously is. I'm going to go both again.
It is a racehorse.
God.
First, I mean, I'm sure like first captain could, you could get both. Well,
it's like first chair in orchestra, you know, like the first captain.
Yeah. So
I guess
I have not seen or heard first captain and listener, hey, if listeners know of when first captain's been called out in like football or any other like sport, call it out.
I guess it's usually captain and then like,
yes.
Cause in hockey they have like, what is the assistants? Like they have the A on their thing. Okay.
Technically, you got 0.5 on the first one. I'll give you another half point of the other, but right now you're 1-2. Here we go.
Okay.
Storm the court.
Oh, that's got to be both. That's definitely a basketball term. But storm the court is a cool racehorse name. So if it's not, we should use it. It's both. I'm saying both.
That's right. It is both. Nice work.
Finally.
Nice work. Yes, absolutely.
I was almost going to flip, but then... I'm glad I stayed.
For our moms out there, for Becca and Joan, Storm the Court is when, and actually I think both of our moms know this, by the way, but it is when a team upsets another team and all the players and students rush the court to celebrate. Let's do one more. You done with one more?
Yeah, one more.
Kookaburra.
I'm pretty sure it's an animal. I'm definitely going, isn't it an animal?
Can't say anything. You keep asking questions. I'm the host of this.
Yeah. Stoic behind there. Okay. It's definitely a racehorse. I don't think it's a sports term. I'm going racehorse only.
It is a sports term.
It's not a racehorse?
It's not a racehorse.
What is this?
Kookaburra is a brand of cricket ball used in international matches.
That's fair. I would have no idea about that.
Well, good round. Good round. Well done. That's a fun little game. We'll bring that.
Wildly mediocre.
We'll bring that back.
Awesome. Well, that was super fun, Simon. Thank you. Dear listener, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We had a great time talking with Neil from the Premier League. Awesome guy, amazing organization, obviously because of the top tier talent at the highest level. However, it's also really cool to get to talk to them about like the grassroots player development, youth programming that they have that they're so passionate about, and that's something they're going to be focusing on for the years to come. It obviously makes us here very happy, and you know, youth sports will be a better place because of it.
Well, let's put a nice bow on this one here, Marie. This has been another episode of For the Love of Sport. A big, huge, top-tier thank you to our guest, Neil Saunders, for joining us at the USCC and sitting down with us.
As always, feel free to send an email out to us at ftlospod@nbcuni.com. We'd love to hear from you, dear listener, about maybe potential fun racehorse names, sports terms that we should include in. Maybe send those to Simon only so I don't have to see them. Just say, see, for Simon's eyes only. But yeah, send us some emails. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got any questions, topics that you think would be great for the podcast, we are always looking for those.
And a big thank you for everybody who's reached out so far. The For the Love of Sport is brought to you by SportsEngine, the home of youth sports. Hosts are the outstanding Marie Fitzgerald and myself, Simon McKenzie. Our marketing guru is Kelsey Irwin. Our captain of content marketing is Rob Bedeau. And the amazing sound engineer is Troy Stone. We will be back with another episode very soon. Bye.
We will see you then. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.